all, that's our assignment. And today I want us to think about the story continues. The story continues. You know, when you look at history, and there have been those that have said that we're writing the 29th chapter of the book of Acts now. You know, it went through 28 by Luke, and now we're writing the next chapter. And that next chapter helps us understand in reality we're in the last days. We have been in the last days since Jesus ascended. And in the meantime, as he wrote to John, he told us about things that were going to be happening. And we want to look at calendars, and we want to look at charts and try to pinpoint that day that he's going to come back. But that's not what he told us to do. There's no doubt that we're in those last days, and we need to be talking about Jesus. We need to be sharing his story with the lost and dying world that we're living in. There's been a great falling away, as Jesus described to John on the Isle of Patmos, and it's encouraging. It is occurring today. There are new terminologies that is being used as we're deconstructing our faith. We're tearing down our faith. We're abandoning our faith. We're abandoning the church because of many different reasons. But the reality is, rather than abandoning it, we need to be getting deeper into it and having that deep relationship with the Lord. So our scripture today describes Jesus meeting with his followers after his resurrection. He told his disciples very soon after the resurrection, go tell the disciples to go where I told them to meet me in Galilee. And so they went to Galilee and they met Jesus on the mountain there. Later on, he ascended off of the mountain near Jerusalem. So this is not the last experience the disciples had, but it was a personal time. In fact, as you read this, you begin to understand that Paul described it as the 500 people that witnessed Jesus being alive. That crowd that gathered in Galilee and heard Jesus talking in the last experiences. We need to understand today we have a clear call to missions. We have a clear call to missions. You know, the last words of a loved one are very important. This week, I've gone back through my mind as we've dealt with death of members and loved ones. And even now, as we're facing that with Nick, there are many times that we reflect on the last words of a loved one, what they mean to us. Sometimes they're painful. Sometimes they're hard to deal with in our lives. Other times they bring us joy and comfort. They bring us assurance. They bring us encouragement and strength. But as we think about, this was the last time Jesus was able to talk to his disciples and those that were gathered with him in that very personal way. For many of them, it was the last words of Jesus. The events of Acts 1 described by Luke were words and images and smells and feelings and sights of the Lord's ascension forever back into the heavens. And they're etched in their memory. They reflect on it. It brings them courage. It brings them strength day in and day out as they fight the devil to carry the message into a lost and dying world. Every one of the disciples was able to tell Jesus' story. It was the Great Commission that is worded here. And every disciple from that day on told Jesus' story. His followers had spent 3 years with him, a little over 3 years. They saw his heart. They heard his words. They witnessed the miracles. They heard the Father's affirmation from heaven, my beloved son, hear him. My beloved son, obey him. They had grown to love Jesus deeply, and there was a special investment in telling his story because they love to talk about their Savior. I'm afraid today the church is no longer making disciples. And that breaks my heart. Over 60 years ago, the United States church culture stopped making disciples and just was focused on bringing people to the point of confessing and praying and being baptized. And they didn't develop them into what they needed to become. We're no longer invested in it. We're no longer in it deeply. That's hard, dirty work. It's day in and day out investment of prayer, Bible study, energy, and it costs to have that one-on-one time where you can help someone grow and develop and mature and be able to tell the story of Jesus and serve him in the way. We have to build reproducing disciples. He told them, go make disciples. And that's what we're all about. Jesus called me, and he told me personally that I have the responsibility to make disciples. And if you are a follower of Christ, you have that same great commission. You have that same responsibility. Look with me at that in Matthew 28, verse 16 and following. Matthew 28, 16. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and he said to them, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have to see that there are requirements that have been placed on Jesus' followers. There is a message that we have to hear and give. The disciples heard and understood that message was to provide to all mankind, to every person living, every person that was alive. They need to understand they are lost, dying, and headed to devil's hell for all of eternity without Jesus Christ. That's a hard message today. And quite frankly, people don't want to hear it. I had one of our folks commented the other day about how much I mentioned hell. And they were affirming me because they said, we don't hear about hell anymore. We have forgot about it. We don't want to hear about it because it brings judgment. It brings requirements upon us. We have to do something if we know people are going to hell, and we have to share with them. But they understood that Jesus was born of the Virgin. He lived, died, was buried, raised to life again, ascended back to the Father, and will soon split the skies and return and gather his followers to spend eternity with me. And he said, he loves you. He will forgive you. He will give you eternal life and make a place for you in heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you, he said. We have to understand not only that, but there is a mission field that we have to deal with. The Lord was very intentional. He gave clear directions. He gave assigned responsibilities. There is no other conclusion. In the King James versions, there is the imperative command. Jesus said, I have all authority. There's no one above him. He's at the top. I have all authority. It was given to him by the Father. And he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the responsibility. Folks, we just can't sit on a pew and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and think life is just good, and one day we're going to eat bonbons on a cloud. There is a responsibility assigned to us to take the gospel to all of the world. Now, Mickey, let's be real. I can't go to China. I can't go to Brazil. I can't go to Iraq. I can't go to Russia. No, you can't. But where you are, you can be telling the story. In fact, there are those that actually interpret this as you go, tell the story. As you go to work, tell the story. As you go to school, tell the story. As you go to your recreation on the ball field or somewhere else, tell the story. Wherever you are, the bank, the grocery store, the hospital, tell the story. We taught our disaster relief volunteers, you answer people's questions. You don't hit them over the head with the Bible. But we also taught them you can use the questions they ask as a means to answer with the gospel. Who are you? Why are you here? Why are you sleeping on the floor of that church? Why are you doing this nasty work? All those kind of questions, it gives you the opportunity to go to Jesus. You tell them, I'm here because Jesus saved me and he called me to minister and share to others. Let me tell you about my Jesus. That's what we need to be about. We have to understand, if you're not making disciples, you're not walking with the Lord. You're out of fellowship with the Lord. We are to abide in him by obeying his words. We learn in the study of the Bible and prayer, and we put it into practice every day as we go about our life. But there's a method also. As we go, we are to tell his story, my story, our story. We are inviting others to accept Jesus as their personal Savior and make him Lord of their lives. There's no other way. We will not just rub off on people. You can't catch Christianity like you catch the flu. There are those that says you're the only Bible that somebody has. And if you have to use words, no, you have to start with the words that are backed up by the way you live and the things you do and how you relate to other people. It takes intentional actions of going, telling, and inviting others to know Jesus. If you're having lunch tomorrow at Chick-fil-A, and a friend of yours comes up, and I'm with you, how would you introduce me to them? How would you tell them about me? What would you tell them about me? Do you know me well enough to tell somebody else about me? To introduce me to someone else other than he's our pastor. Man, you ought to hear him talk. He talks funny, being from South Carolina, you know. And he's got that weird color that he likes, that garnet for the Gamecocks, you know. And those things, they may get you in the door of the conversation, but that's not what it needs to be about. My question is, do you know Jesus well enough to introduce him to someone else? To introduce him to your friends, to your family. Can you tell your friend, your coworker, your classmate about Jesus and what he has done for you, what he means to you? You know, I've said our testimony involves my life before Jesus, my life, how Jesus found me, and the difference that Jesus made in my life. That's how you build your testimony. And that's how you talk to people and tell people about Jesus. The assigned method that Jesus gave us is to introduce him for the purpose of making others disciples to him also. Disciples make disciples. And that's what it's about. Now there is requirement placed upon unbelievers as well. While you and I are required to tell his story and to tell your story, there is still the responsibility of people who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Unbelievers have to answer Jesus' call. Please understand that if you're not a believer, if Jesus is not your Savior and Lord today, then you have to act to make him Lord and Savior. It takes a commitment of your will and purpose. Our Lord works through the Holy Spirit using believers to share his story and to share their story to draw others to himself. As you live day by day, is it worth imitating you? Is it worth living like you live? Is it important for them to know you well enough to live like you? He will never force you or himself upon anyone. Everyone is invited, but they must accept. I don't like that word because that implies a negotiation. And you don't negotiate with Jesus. You have to embrace him. You have to receive what he offers to us, that eternal life. You must hear the story and then answer his call to eternal life. Even the Apostle Paul had to answer Jesus. In Acts, the 22nd chapter, you hear him as he's traveling and giving his testimony. I was traveling and approaching Damascus. About noon, an intense light from heaven suddenly flashed around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, the one you are persecuting. It became very personal for Paul very quickly. Jesus spoke to him. He was blind. He was led on into Damascus, by the way, where he was going to arrest believers or people of the way, the little Christ. And he sat in a room in a corner by himself for 3 days without eating or drinking, blind. And then God called one of his servants in Damascus to go and pray for this man, Saul of Tarsus. Wait a minute, Lord. That's the one that's persecuting us. That's the one that's killing us. And you want me to go talk to him? Yes. I've got a task for him, and you need to tell him. And sure enough, as soon as he was prayed for by a believer, the scales fell off. And he got up and was baptized and began to serve the Lord. In our Galatian study, we understand he went to the desert for 3 years and the Holy Spirit taught him, just like Jesus had spent 3 years teaching the disciples what they needed to know. You see, Jesus' answer to Paul, Jesus' answer started Paul's journey to becoming the apostle of Jesus Christ, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and developed most of the doctrines we know today. And he went place after place after place, starting churches where believers came to faith and they changed their community. He got to the point that they were accused of turning the world upside down. You see, believers have to act upon Jesus' unbelievers have to act upon Jesus' invitation. To become a believer, you also have to act on the Lord's invitation to make him your Savior and Lord. The Philippian jailer, following the earthquake that opened the doors and dropped the chains off of Paul and his band of wanderers there, when that happened, the jailer drew his sword when he came awake, and Paul's voice rang out, Wait a minute, we're all here. Don't do that. Don't kill yourself. And the jailer's question immediately says, What must I do to be saved? Paul's life was different, and he knew it. The jailer knew it, and he wanted the difference. And he said, Believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, you and your household. The Bible says he was immediately baptized on his confession of faith in Jesus as his Lord. That means you have to act upon the belief that you have. Belief is faith that Jesus is who he is, who he said he was, and that he can do what he said he will do. You have to trust him. True belief means you have to act. I've said many times, I can have faith that that pew would hold me all day long, but I don't have faith, I don't believe it until I sit in it and entrust myself to it. You don't believe Jesus until you trust yourself to him. Unbeliever has to accept his offer. In addition to answering his call and acting upon his call, you must accept the offer. Just as any gift, you receive it when you reach out and take it. When you receive it, there will require actions on your part. Acts 2. Peter's preaching. And when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter, to the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All unbelievers must answer. They must act. And they must accept Jesus' offer of salvation. And that only happens when they've heard the story. And it's clear, it's concise, and it's understandable. The only way they're going to hear that story is if you tell them. If you will share his story and your story. Have you? Will you accept the gift of eternal life? Will you become his disciple? But there's recognitions of his servants also. The disciples became people who were known because they had been with Jesus. Jesus made a difference in their lives, and they lived like it. They became known as little Christ. They were known because of their actions and their words, and they were turning the world upside down. The sign of his followers, Jesus talked about in Matthew 10:7. As you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. When you study the book of Acts, you're going to discover that each of those abilities were given to the apostles. They were demonstrated in their lives. The miracles served as a demonstration or an authentication of their message, of the story the disciples were telling about Jesus. People could believe their story because it could be backed up with the ability to heal, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and drive out demons. They had power to back their story. Now, there's great misunderstanding today. There are many today who want and even demand proof that they are saved. Their belief, their faith is not enough. They don't trust Jesus with that. They want more. And this overwhelming desire of many is the ability to speak in tongues. And there is the gift that the people will invest so much time and energy in begging God for that ability. But if you listen to them clearly, it is very personal reasons as why they want that gift. They want to be recognized for super Christians. There are many preachers and evangelists today who invest much time and energy and develop elaborate schemes to convince people that they can speak in an unknown tongue, heal the sick, or raise the dead. Remember, during the first century, they did not have the New Testament. The Holy Spirit had not been imparted, so there was only a way to validate the message was through the acts that Jesus performed. And he passed that to the disciples through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they were still having to interpret the prophecies about the Messiah and demonstrate the facts of the Old Testament and the law. And they needed Yahweh to confirm the teachings just as he did with Jesus. The movement and the activity of the Holy Spirit was absolutely necessary for their story to be heard, accepted, and believed. And today there are many heresies built and perpetuated based on scriptures that say those type things. There are many false teachers who are proclaiming for the sake of notoriety and money. But you need to understand God is still God. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he can and he does anything he chooses. Miracles still happen today. All things are possible with God, Jesus said. He told Martha, "Didn't I tell you if you believed you would see the glory of God?" Folks, as I've lived and worked and served the Lord Jesus, I have seen miracles, sometimes daily on disasters. I could see God. And there was no explanation other than God did something. And he does it in people that he can trust, he can depend on, and that are doing his will. That's the important part we need to hear. Our only choice is to tell the story of Jesus Christ and tell our story. We must live like we have been with Jesus. He will move as he chooses, and when he chooses, and for the purposes he chooses. We have to obey. So what is God's method today? God's plan, his method of working today, is through the lives of believers. There are those that say the miracles stopped at the end of the first century. The disciples is when the miracles stopped. the apostles is when the miracles stop. But I'm telling you, they still happen today. They're around us. We can see them if you pay attention. You can see the glory of God. Today we have the New Testament. Today we have the Holy Spirit filling and living in every believer. You're not a believer without the Spirit. Paul says he is God's mark of ownership on you. He is God's guarantee of eternal life. He is God's down payment of eternal life in our lives. And the Holy Spirit can do anything he wants to do. The Holy Spirit bears fruit in the lives of the believers. You see, we have the Holy Spirit leading believers to share their faith, to love one another, to bear one another's burdens. And we have the opportunity to demonstrate the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit as he uses us to tell Jesus' story. Folks, you don't have to be afraid to talk to anybody. Mickey, I don't know the Bible good enough. You don't have to know the Bible. You need to study it. You need to learn it. You need to understand it. But when the Holy Spirit is a part of you and you're telling somebody else about Jesus, the Holy Spirit's there. And he leads you. He guides you. And he allows you to say the things that need to be said. And for me, it's sometimes, I don't know. I don't know. I have to depend on God. I have to study his word to learn those kind of things. We have to tell the story of the Savior of mankind to a lost and dying world. 70% of the state of Georgia will spend eternity in hell if Jesus split the sky today. 70% of the 50,000 people that live within 10 minutes of this building will spend eternity in hell if Jesus split the skies today. What do they need? They need to hear his story. And one of the ways you can tell his story is if you tell your story. The gospel is still man's most important issue. I don't care what's happening in the world. I don't care what's going on in your life, your family. The gospel is the most important thing. But Mickey, we're near death. Someone's near death. Yeah. And where they spend eternity will be dependent upon if they know Jesus Christ. That's more important than anything else in life. We have to tell him. You see, the gospel is man's most important issue today. The Great Commission, when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation, those were the last words of Jesus. They were the driving force for every believer, for every man, woman, boy, and girl will die and stand before God and give an account of their lives. The books are open and the book of life will be open, John told us. All who are not found in the book of life, who have not believed on Jesus, who have not confessed Jesus as Lord of their life, will be banished to a devil's hell for all of eternity. Folks, that's serious. There is nothing more serious than that. But you must understand, you have had an opportunity to share your story and his story with others. You understand you will be judged for not telling other people his story as well. Libby said she expected Nick to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The only way you're going to hear that is if you have been faithful to the task that Jesus assigned us, that is to go make disciples. The great example, one that I think about, is in April in 1912, evangelist John Harper and his daughter Nana were on board the Titanic traveling from London headed to the United States. He had been invited to fill the pulpit of Moody Chapel in Chicago for 3 months. The Titanic had 2,223 passengers on board, and only 706 of them survived after it hit the iceberg. 1,523 passengers ended up in the icy waters of the North Atlantic. Only 7 of those that were in the water and all of those in the lifeboats survived. Harper placed his daughter and his sister on a lifeboat. He took off his life jacket and he gave it to a mother man who could not swim. And he said, "I'm going up, so I don't need it." After Harper was in the water, he swam from person to person, asking if they were saved. And when he heard no answer, he yelled to them, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." One of those men that he spoke to got separated from Harper, but as the waves tossed, it brought them back together again the second time. And as soon as Harper asked the question, Harper sank beneath the waves and into that 2.5 miles of deep, icy water and was never heard from again. In 1916, the surviving passengers of the Titanic attended a reunion of the survivors held in Ontario, Canada. And at this reunion, Aquila Webb gave testimony to John Harper and said, "I am John Harper's last convert." The question should fall from our lips as often and as easy as it did from Harper. And it needs to be incorporated into the stories of our life. Do you know Jesus? The question will demonstrate our compassion for a lost and dying in our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates, our friends. I once heard an avowed atheist make this statement: if Jesus is real, and if you were a believer, you must hate me greatly if you're unwilling to tell me about Jesus. Are you willing to tell others about Jesus? If you don't, you must hate them greatly. Who will you tell your story to this week? Who will you share your story with this week? Father, we pray that you would move in our midst now and you call from us decisions that we need to make. And one of those decisions to be who we're going to tell our story to this week, who we're going to tell Jesus' story to this week. Father, we pray that you'd move in our midst for those that need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let them come. Talk to me and confess Jesus today. Father, for those that need to rededicate themselves, that have been believers in the past but aren't living close and aren't involved with you right now, let them come and make a recommitment, a rededication of their hearts and lives to walk with you and to worship you. Father, for those that need to join Pinecrest Baptist Church today, to walk shoulder to shoulder with us as we reach the community around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ, let them move today. Let them answer the call to be your children. Speak now, for your people listen, and we wish to respond to your call upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you today need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's very simple. We use those terms. We have to admit that we are sinners. We have to realize for all to sin and fall short of the glory of God. We have to believe that Jesus died for you. Yet all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. They must confess Jesus as Lord of your life. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. I choose to add a D to those ABCs. And their dedication, disciple, something like that, you become a learner of Jesus. You follow and learn his teachings, his ways and requirements. Jesus said to the disciple, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. It may be today that you need to accept Christ through that process. I'm going to invite you to come and share with me and let me share with our congregation today your commitment. Maybe today you are a believer, but you have not been living for him. You've not been serving him. You've not been telling his story. Maybe today you need to renew yourself to that. Commit to pray for boldness. Commit to speak the word of God with boldness. Commit to be sensitive to his leadership and the opportunities to share the gospel. Or maybe today you need to be a part of a church member. The Bible tells us we need to assemble together. We need to come together to encourage and support and challenge each other, to hold each other accountable. Some of that's happened with this large crowd today, reminding us how important it is that we have others around us. Maybe today you need to become a part of Pinecrest Baptist Church. Maybe today you need to simply change your letter from another church of like faith and beliefs and join us. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Do you want him to confess you? Does the story of Jesus continue through you? One of these decisions you need to make today in obedience to him. Let's sing, Rudy.